So, hopefully everyone's been having a good summer. It's about over. But, anyway, let me get myself situated here. So, during worship, which was great, I had to text our daughter, Emily Orr, who fills in here, too. She's actually filling in at different churches. She's filling in. She was last Sunday and this Sunday both at Oskaloosa Assembly of God. So I had to text her during worship just to encourage her and tell her how proud I am of her. This church invested in her. So appreciate it. Really do appreciate it. So, well, you got your handouts, Delays, Deserts, and Devars. This afternoon, when Emily and I can, when we both preach the same Sunday, we try to meet Sunday afternoon for coffee at Smoky Row, and we talk about things. I don't know if you realize or not, but she's working on her master's in Bible, culture, and history. And part of her requirements to get this master's, we're not sure how this is going to work out, but she has to spend 6 weeks in Israel at Diggs, where they're, you know, she chose the college she's going to for this. She's doing it mainly all online. But the reason why she chose this college, it's the foremost. It has the most digs. It's uncovered the most things. It's just, it's really, as she says, it's really Bible nerdy. And so her and I love to talk about things, and it has switched. She teaches me more than I teach her now. So this morning, one of those things as I was going over my sermon is like, I know Emily told me some of this. I wonder if she's already told them some of this. So, anyway, we're blessed. I'm gonna just let you know something. I think it's good sometimes just to quiet ourselves for the Lord. Now, I love worship. And matter of fact, one of the songs we sang this morning reminded me of a church Wanda and I attended for 1 year. We had a one-year kind of like assignment in Springfield, Missouri. And the thing about this church is, not that you guys got to do this, but it only had like 8 songs. And every now and then they would let one drop off. They didn't sing all 8 every Sunday, but they were a type of church that just drew in people literally off the streets. And so they wanted to make sure if they came a second time, they could recognize the songs and stuff like that, and third time and so forth. But one of the songs they sang this morning was one of theirs. And they were so loud. I mean, people walked in with their babies with headphones on. Heads. Yeah, it was loud. But that was the type of people that they laid on that pastor and leadership's hearts to reach. And Juan and I went there that year because we just loved watching the transformation. People walk in one way one Sunday, and we see them 4 weeks later, and they've been there all 4 weeks, and they were transformed. And one of the reasons why I like it, I'm not that musical, but I could sing as loud as I wanted to, and it didn't bother anybody because no one could hear anybody else. And you sang one of those songs this morning, and I was pretty excited about that. But anyway. I love praise and worship. It's kind of what I'm getting to, okay? And I love our verbally communicating with the Lord. At the same time, there are times I need to quiet myself before the Lord with open ears, open mind, and open heart, you know, to allow the Holy Spirit to do what He does. He speaks and touches us individually. The well-known Psalm 23 has a very small phrase in its verse 5 that unless we know the cultural impact from the time of the original writing, we miss out on its full impact. And I'm just telling you, Emily taught me this. My cup overflows. My cup overflows refers to when a person back in the Bible time, When a person had invited people to come to their house for a meal, for a feast, or a celebration, the way for the host to indicate it was time for most of their guests to consider heading home was that the hosts would approach each person with a flask or a pitcher of the drink of that feast. And the way the host would indicate is that everyone knew when they came by, you held up your flask or your cup. Most people receive half a cup or 3/4 of a cup, with the host indicating you'll be heading home pretty soon. Then there were some of those that when they held up their cup, the host filled it full, saying, "I would like for you to hang around. I enjoy your presence." Then there was a few. This is what King David was writing about. When they held up their flask, the host indicated what they thought of them by not just filling it, but just to keep letting it pour over. It ran down, dropped off their elbows, and literally formed a puddle, indicating, "I enjoy your presence so much. I want you and I to share each other's presence to the point that you can stay as long as you need, and I will fulfill any needs you have while you're in my presence." A cup overflows. See, David knew the cultural impact that people would understand him. So I'm going to ask you just to stay sitting, but I want us just to pause for a minute or two. Maybe even want to hold up your hand. And let's let him set the Holy Spirit. Fellas, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great plan of salvation, and we thank you for the great plan of your Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you as a deity, and that you are the voice of our Heavenly Father. I just pray now that you'll open our ears to hear, our minds to comprehend, and our hearts to respond. I ask for this to be more than scriptural information, but scriptural formation into the image of Christ today. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, even though I just asked you to pause for a moment, please allow me to share with you today by asking, have you ever been in a season or a period of time or a situation where you felt there was no forward momentum? Maybe you're doing things just as you did in the past where you had success. Maybe you're praying. Maybe you're even putting an extra effort into a situation, but it just seems nothing is happening. Those situations, those unusual times, those seasons can easily be categorized as delays. I am not a fan of delays. I know delays can come in many shapes, forms, and fashions, but I'm usually not a fan of any type of delay. In our Western culture, we've been trained that faster's better. Matter of fact, that same culture relays everything should flow smooth and easy. And when things aren't going the way we feel they need to be going, We need to adjust. We need to do something. Or we need to make a major change to affect the delay that's upon us. When we work at missing or avoiding delays, and it doesn't work out, and instead we go into a holding pattern, we usually, as human beings, have three options. Let me go over those real quick. The first one is God must not be interested in my life. Not true. He created you, has plans and purposes and adventures for you. The second response is easily, maybe I forfeited God's favor. Not true. You were never that good. And you were never that bad. It isn't our goodness that gets us into God's favor, and it isn't our badness that keeps us from God's favor. It is the grace God extends to us through Jesus Christ that we have His favor. And guess what? God's grace never runs out. The third response. This is the one. I'm preaching out myself today, folks. If anything's going to happen, I'm going to have to make it happen myself. Not true, and with me, usually not good. My efforts are okay, but they will not come close to God's efforts for my life, which He does inside out, heart first. Between 1985 and 2011, NASA, the United States Space Agency, had 135 space shuttles with five different space shuttles. A space shuttle has four things, and I think you got a picture of them here. The shuttle itself, the external tanks, the solid rocket boosters, and the fuel. And these collectively weigh 4.4 million pounds. In order for the space shuttle to get from its hangar to its launch pad, it has to be transported on something. I think you got a picture of this. At this time, this was the largest man-made item ever created. It's called a crawler transporter. The crawler transporter itself weighed 6 million pounds. This space shuttle has to get from 0 to 18,000 miles per hour to get outside of the Earth's atmosphere, and it has to do it in 8.5 minutes. That is really fast. Once it's outside the Earth's atmosphere, it has the capacity to travel at, get this, 23.6 times the speed of sound. You know how fast it gets from its hangar to the launch pad? 1 mile per hour. Wanda and I were living in Fort Myers, Florida during many of those years. And we were teaching. And the Appaloosa River was close to where we hung out. And you could get up in the morning. We liked it when they would do the shuttle, when they would launch them off early in the morning. They were so big and bright, you could get on the bridge and look in the water and see it in the sky. It was fun to take the kids outside and to see them too. Here's my point of it all. Often in order to go fast, we have to go slow first. Another way to say it is this. The space shuttle gets to see the stars. To get to see the stars, it has to slowly make its way down the street. Verse. Thinking of our lives, you and I don't want delays. I don't want the process. Give me the finished product first. You and I need to keep in mind that God is a God of processes. Keep in mind, slow motion is still motion. A delay does not indicate a disinterest in God's part. God's timing and our timing isn't always going to be the same. And whenever I choose my timing over His timing, I end up disappointed and frustrated because His ways are better than mine and your ways. With that in mind, would you allow me to introduce you to a Bible character many of you already know about here? I don't know about you. I was old enough that I learned this Bible character by the flannel graph board in the basement of this church. His name was Joseph. Like the majority of the Bible characters, he was normal like you and me. He was one of 12 brothers, but he was the parents' favorite as they did such things as making Joseph a special robe of many colors. Joseph's life starts in the Bible, Genesis chapter 37, and won't end until 94 years later, all the way through Genesis chapter 50. One day, Joseph's father told Joseph, who was usually kept around the house, to go check on his brothers out working together in a field a ways away. His brothers saw him coming from a distance, and they made a decision to kill him, but then decided instead to sell him to a group of Ishmaelites that were passing through. Joseph's brothers took the robe off of him, tore it up, put animal blood on it, then took it home to their father with a story. A wild beast had gotten the best of Joseph. One of the reasons the brothers didn't like Joseph is that he relayed his dream to them of him having great destiny, but not so for them. Those dreams of destiny now have, to Joseph, diminished into a delay. I'd like to look at Genesis chapter 9, 39, starting with verse 1, if you want to join me. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian had bought him from the Ishmaelites, who had brought him down there. Now, let's just pause. We can relate to Joseph. As he didn't want to be where he wasn't with who he wanted to be with, and he wasn't doing what he wanted to be doing. Joseph could have started to doubt God and start to try things his own way, but instead he leaned into God, as verse 2 indicates. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. Being successful as a slave. Interesting. Let's go on. Verse 3. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord caused all he did to do to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him. And he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had, in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. And because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to the master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in his house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" But as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her or to be with her. But one day, when he went to the house to do his work and none of the men of the house was there in the house, she caught him by his robe, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his robe in her hand and fled and got out of the house. As soon as she saw that he had left his robe in her hand and fled out of the house, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought among us," when she says he, referring to her husband, "has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice, and as soon as he heard that, I lifted up my voice and cried out. He left his garment beside me, and I fled and got out of the house." Liar, liar, liar. Okay. I just had to get that out. Sorry. Then she laid up his robe by her until his master came home, and she told him the same story, saying, "The Hebrew servant who you have brought among us came in to me to laugh at me, but as soon as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me and fled out of the house." I just want to put it on pause. If I was around Joseph, I'd give him one piece of advice. Robes aren't working for you, buddy. Change your attire. As soon as his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, "This is the way your servant treated me," his anger was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. Another delay. Not only another delay, but this one looks a lot darker than the one he was in. I imagine all of us can relate, actually, in one shape or form of hitting another delay, such as Joseph did. If we were to read on, we'd read that Joseph understood that God is always good and that he's always doing something, even in the brokenness of our lives. An aspect of this delay is that for the first time, Joseph is now in proximity to people who have proximity to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's cupbearer and the baker were in prison with Joseph as Pharaoh became upset with them to the point of throwing them into prison. It says in the scriptures that Joseph noticed these two men and served them. During this time of the three of them spending time in prison, both the cupbearer and the baker had the same dream. They approached Joseph to see if he could interpret their dream. Joseph responded, he couldn't interpret their dream, but that his God may help them to do that, and he did. He related a good news aspect that both would be getting out of the prison. And then he also said the bad news aspect is that one of you is going to get killed. The baker was killed, and the cupbearer is restored to his role as the attendant to Pharaoh. The scriptures point out, this is interesting, they point out Joseph just had one request to the two men when they were being released from prison. And it was a simple two-word request. Remember me. If I was Joseph after that two-word request, and it was 2 years had gone by, I could have wondered if not only the cupbearer had forgotten me, but maybe so had God. Rather than going down that type of a rabbit trail, Joseph knew the following statement. Here we got some fill in the blanks if you'd like to follow along. They'll be projected. When we don't understand God's direction, when we don't understand God's direction, while you write that down, how many of you didn't understand something maybe your parents did, but you had to do it, and you found out later it was for your good? Why is it then do I with God? It's like if I don't understand it, he must be off base. We better move on. I'll get myself in trouble. When we don't understand God's direction or what he's doing or his timing or his silence, we can be assured he is moving. He is moving on our behalves. At God's timing, he gave Pharaoh a dream that none of his leadership team could interpret, and none of them could find anyone to interpret it. But the cupbearer remembered Joseph. And I imagine he timidly approached Pharaoh to say, Joseph's dream interpretation could potentially help him out. And ended up with Joseph being cleaned up and brought into Pharaoh. Which brings us to the next fill in the blank. Your delay has the potential to position you. Your delay has the potential to position you. God not only gave Joseph the interpretation of the dream, but he also, through Joseph's delays, positioned Joseph to gain great favor with Pharaoh, resulting in not only saving one, but saving two nations, which included all of Joseph's family. Which brings us to the next fill in the blank. When God, with God, nothing's wasted, even our waiting. With God, nothing is wasted, even our waiting. Aren't we so proud of our recycle efforts today in our society? I'm sure God just chuckles at us. And he goes, I do that all the time. I recycle absolutely everything. But I make it so much better than what it was. The same God who kept His eye on Joseph and cared for him is always ready to do the same for you and me. Which brings us to the next fill in the blank. The times we feel we're being buried, God is planting us. I love that. The times we feel we're being buried, I can't keep my nose above it. God's saying, that's all right, because I'm planting you. I need, like I said, I'm preaching to me today. I need to be patient and have trust while God's preparing not only me, but also others in situations that I don't understand. Instead of me becoming dissatisfied, frustrated, and disappointed, I need to go deeper in my relationship with God. I need to put my efforts into making the most of where He has planted me. What happens to you and your delay connects directly what will happen with you afterwards. You hear that? How we handle things during the delay probably has a great effect on how things are going to go for us after the delay. Which brings us to the next fill in the blank. We have to make peace. We have to make peace with God's pace. We have to make peace with God's pace. Something happens when our perception shifts from irritation in the delay to an anticipation of the development. I need to hear that one again, okay? Something happens when our perception shifts from irritation at the delay to an anticipation of the development. I think it's becoming more like Jesus. Let's look at some scriptures. Hebrews 12:11. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Let's look at Jesus' words about this, found in John 16:33. I have told you this so that my peace will be with you. In the world you'll have trouble, but cheer up. I have overcome the world. Philippians 1:6. And I'm sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Basically, what they are saying, what God starts, He finishes. What God starts, He finishes. But during a delay, it's so easy to become self-focused instead of Christ-focused. Here's where you and I need to take our minds during a delay. Philippians 4:8-9. Listen to this. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. If there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. July 14, 1952, Florence Chadwick, an American swimmer, held many world records. She also swam the Strait of Gibraltar, swam the English Channel to the mainland of Europe, and she was attempting to swim on this day from the coast of California to Catalina Island, which is 26 miles. That's a swimming marathon. I can't even start to imagine that. 26 miles. And it's not like it's a pool either. On this particular day, it was really foggy. She had been in the water for 15 hours, and what she didn't know because of the fog is that she was less than half a mile from the shore of Catalina Island. Here is a quote from her. All I could see was the fog. Due to that, she stopped. She stopped swimming, and she stopped forward momentum. I don't know about you, but when I'm in a delay, and when I really don't understand, yeah. Jerry was so kind to give me a bottle of water, and then I leave it down there. That looks like the type of swimsuit I made my daughter wear until she turned 21. We lived at Lake of the Ozark.
when she became a junior hire. Do you know what they wear at the Lake of the Ozark for swimsuits? Yeah. So I'd always tell her, if you get a one piece, I'll buy the most expensive one you can find. She had one pieces for quite a while. Anyway, don't tell her I told you that. I don't know about you, but when I'm doing a little bit better at delays. But when I don't really understand what's going on, and I don't see good, what I consider good in it, and I really don't see any forward momentum for anybody or anything, I know what happens to me. I get confused. I get really confused. And then my delay becomes a desert. A desert. And who really wants to spend time in a desert without knowledge of really knowing where you're at and where you can't see a designation? Florence Chadwick commented later, "I think if I could have seen the shore, I would have made it on my original attempt." Allow me to pull this to a close by presenting to you, when we're in a delay, it can become a desert. But God has a Dabar in the Midbar. A desert is not most of our choices as a place to spend time, unless you and I gain the Hebrew cultural implications of the day of Joseph and throughout the times of Old and New Testaments. The cultural teachings of that day were to voluntarily enter the wilderness. To them, the wilderness, the desert, is a place of listening and waiting. It was a mindset and heart determination such as Psalms 46, 10 through 11. This is what they took with them into the desert. "Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." And the reason why they took that in is that they had been told as kids about the victories and when Jacob was their leader and how they conquered nations and how they had setbacks. But the faithfulness of God always ended up victorious for them. And the lessons their ancestors learned in the desert. This is their mindset. When they entered or found themselves in a desert situation. So you got some fill in the blanks here about the Dabar and the Midbar. It's a Jewish saying. It's still said today by practicing Jews. So Dabar, it means speak or word. Dabar means to speak or you have a word. Midbar, it means desert or wanderings in a wilderness. Desert or wanderings in a wilderness. Here's what's interesting. Dabar is the root, very, very, very bottom root word of Midbar. There would be no Midbar if there was no Dabar. Okay? Dabar in the Midbar produces our theology of hope. That's your next blank. Dabar in Midbar produces our theology of hope. And you can follow that in Scripture. It's so interesting. If we didn't have the bars in the Midbar, we wouldn't have the hope that we have. During the challenging seasons of our lives, it is our response, it's our responses that shape our lives. Those challenging seasons are brought on through pain, loss, tragedy, death. All of us could stand up and give a handful of examples. There are less distractions, though, in a desert. You and I are more apt to listen and learn in a desert. Why did we tell our kids to go to timeout? Because we wanted it to sink in. I said, he might have recognized that word, timeout. Phrase, I mean, yeah. You know what? God speaks all the time. But our desert times are when we're more attentive to that still, small voice. Gary Bird, he's the author of some books. He authored the book called The Bible and the Land. You want to learn some history about the Bible and the land, the culture? It's just fantastic. Really good stuff. The wilderness, this would probably be the only church I really know in Iowa that would actually have a Sunday school class on that book. It's one of the things, you know, I'm just going to, let me step out of the sermon. Emily and I both said one of the fun things, and one of our, this is our favorite place to preach. She mentioned that to me just yesterday, and I said, well, it is mine too. So I said, I get real comfortable there. The poor people put up with all kinds of stuff and comments that were never planned to be said. But we said both because this church foundation are scriptures. Scriptures are taught and lived out. And the second reason is because it's a missions church, which is why Jesus was sent to the earth on a mission. So, don't stop basing everything on Scripture. You might have another church, even in a smaller town, have greater gains in different ways and stuff. Make sure it's not a flash in the pan by making sure everything is done on Scripture. Man, the giveaway stuff, if that isn't Scripture, I don't know what is. So just want to pat you on the back. This is what Gary Bird said. The wilderness is a theological symbol for flight and deprivation, for suffering and for loss, for vulnerability and hopelessness, for dislocation and confusion. But it's also the spiritual setting where renewal takes place, where men and women in the midst of their crisis discover something about God they had not known before. Moses, in the wilderness, sees a burning bush and receives a devour in the Midbar. Elisha was sustained by God in his wilderness and received a devour in the Midbar. Jesus, immediately after baptized, is there any question who he is? God announced it from the heavens. And he goes into the Midbar. So let's fill in some more blanks. God brings you and me into a variety of delays which seem like deserts so he can speak tenderly. Speak tenderly to us. And then the next one, to nourish us. To nourish us so you and I can nourish others. To nourish us so you and I can nourish others. I have to realize sometimes my midbars are for me because someone else needs it. Someone else needs it. By the way, Florence Chadwick, 2 months after tapping out due to only seeing the fog, attempted the very same record. This time she crushed the men's. Listen to this. She crushed the men's record by 2 hours. Remember our Bible character, Joseph? Let's check out Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, where he's reassuring the very brothers who set into motion all his delays that God provided a devar in the Midbar. This is what Joseph said. Even though you planned evil against me, God planned good to come out of it. This was to keep many people alive as he is doing now. So I want to give you some encouragement. If nothing else out of this today, I want you, when you get into a desert situation, when you get into a dead bar, pull this out, because these things are going to help you, these next four deals. These are encouragement to keep in mind and to put into action for our Devar and the Midbar. And you can share them with someone. Number one, I love this. We don't need to know where God is because He knows where we're at. I don't think He gets too upset when we say, "Where are you?" I don't think it bothers Him. Number two, understanding will fail you. This one I need. Understanding will fail you, but trust. But trust in the Lord will bring you His resources. I don't understand, but I trust you. I think that's when Hedah says, okay, hang on. Three, when we put our trust in God's resources and characteristics, peace is produced. Peace is produced. You know what is one of our greatest witnesses to the unsaved? Is the peace of God and the atmosphere we have around us. Peace beyond understanding. And fourth, God controls outcomes, we control effort. God controls outcome, we control effort. Now I do want to just point out, there's one delay that we have complete control of and we don't have to have it. It's in having a relationship with Jesus. It's always available, no matter who you are, what you've done. You can use all these excuses and God just keeps going. When you're done with your list, it's still there. I don't know if you're in a relationship with Jesus, but I know this. He wants you to be in a relationship with Him. And isn't it... I don't know if you ever had a conversation with an atheist. And I just think it's great to have a conversation with an atheist because I always want to approach them this way. I admire you. I don't know how you keep life going. Because I have troubles. Do you have troubles? And they tell you some of their troubles. Go, I can't make it on my own. God helps me to make it on my own. No, He doesn't help me on my own. He helps me to make it through Him. So I admire you. But if you ever get tired of trying to do all on your own, all you got to do is just put one effort and all of a sudden, heaven's in you. So, I'm going to ask you to stand if you feel like it with me as we come to our time to let the Holy Spirit really do its divine work. No matter what shape, form, or timeline of a delay or desert you might be or will be experiencing, we never go wrong by our efforts focusing on going to Jesus. Remembering to lift our empty, our drained, our dry cups of ourselves to Jesus, who will pour out His overflowing mercy, His overflowing grace, His overflowing compassion, His power, everything we need. He just pours it into you and me. And His pitcher, His flask, doesn't need refilled, but it never runs out. I was taught. My experience, these altars. That the effort of moving towards Him never goes wrong. Emily and I talking about it, there's some churches, I'm sorry, but I might as well set them in a dentist chair and try to pull their teeth out than to get them to the altar. And I feel bad for them, and I don't get on them. I just tell them, I just try to encourage them. So, and I've had some people afterwards say, do you think the Lord can touch me right where I'm at? I said, absolutely. But it's the heart of effort that counts. So we're going to do something a little bit different. I always like kind of giving, I love the worship teams. But I think it's good every now and then to give them a break. So they can just sit back and relax. So we're going to do a little different today. I got this video. It's Christine DeMarco. She is singing and the lyrics are on it. And I met. It's about a 12-minute video. But I don't think God has a time watch. And it's there's four words that I love in this song. He's in the waiting. He's in the waiting. And we're going to have that started up here and the lyrics are on it. I really don't care what you do. I do want to encourage you maybe move towards the altar. And I don't know what it is that you might have. Maybe you feel like you're in a desert. Maybe there's been a prayer that not only have you been feeling like it hasn't been answered, but you even quit praying it. Maybe there's a loved one that at one time was right here in relationship with the Lord and isn't. I'm going to tell you what I texted Emily today. I said, keep your heart humble and His miracles will happen. Are you ready? Let's step into it. Would you play it? Just let the Lord lead you. God did not call you to a job or a career path. He called you to hear His voice and follow Him. Remember, your mission must be larger than your role. Then I love this last sentence. This journey of following Jesus is about who you are becoming, not what you accomplish. The world has its ways, and then there's the kingdom ways. We're to be in the world, but not of it. It's kind of like a boat. A boat does real good out on the water. But if we let water in the boat, it doesn't do that good. I just want to encourage you, and I'm going to pray for you all and your families, that when you hit those delays, those desert times, pause, lift up your spiritual mug, say, my cup overflows. He's faithful. He's faithful. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for today. We acknowledge Your ways are above our ways. We acknowledge Your timing is perfect. We acknowledge that there is nothing that we get involved in that You cannot and don't want to come along and help us with. So Lord, I just pray for each precious person here, their families, situations, and circumstances. Lord, undergird and provide and help us to accept it in ways that we become more like You, Your image bearers. I uplift this church to You, Lord. Help it to continue to move forward. Help it to continue to be a light in this community and surrounding communities. We uplift to You Pastor Mike and Alicia and their boys. Lord, we just ask that You renew, restore them, and continue to work in and through them, we pray. We uplift this community and the surrounding communities. Lord, we know that Calvary had them in mind. So we just turn it all over to You and use us plant us and help us to multiply out for you. And we thank you for this in your name. Amen.
Amen.